basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for our weekly conversation. You know him, you love him. He's forgotten more about basketball than you'll ever know. It's Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm doing well. I used to use that line all the time with in a previous life, I did a lot of sailboat racing. Not on my boat, because that would require money.
Yeah.
But like racing on other people's boats. And I raced against Dennis Connor once.
Wow.
I was on a boat that was racing against Dennis Connor in a thing. And I'm, you know, he's at the bar later. I'm like, you know, he's forgotten more at the bottom of a bottle of scotch about sailing than I will ever know.
Yeah, that was, I remember him back in the day. He was a big deal.
He was a big deal. And, it was a race down to San Diego where he was based out of. So.
A lot of people are hitting the panic button on the Utah Jazz right now. Where are you at in your concern level on the Jazz? Granted that they haven't had a full complement of players, but then again, a lot of teams haven't as of late.
Yeah, this season, the full complement of players thing doesn't fly, especially when you see Miami's and certain teams just thrive in spite of that. I'm probably not as panicked as most Jazz fans. It is concerning that the Laker loss and one a couple weeks ago, just the small ball concern is still there, right? Like that hey, we're going to go with LeBron at center and it kind of works. That's concerning. And I think I'm not as concerned though. I know that there's every time there's a slump with the Jazz, the Rudy Donovan stuff kind of percolates to the top, but it feels like with them that Daryl Morey was right. Like chemistry is a 3-game winning streak. And I feel like that'll turn around once they kind of get their bearings again and start playing better. But it is concerning. I watched not last night because I was at the Laker disaster, but previous games, and they're just guys. Is it just me? They don't seem connected on the court in the way they did even earlier this season.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's definitely some dysfunction, and it's really happening on the defensive side of the ball. Are you seeing defenses kind of collapse in the NBA in general? Or because it feels like so much emphasis is being placed on the perimeter shot. Are you seeing defenses in general collapse in the NBA?
I think that there is the pendulum swings, and I think that they're trying to figure out how to better defend out at the arc and out that far because teams are not going to, and you look, I think Utah leads the league still. At least last time I looked, they led the league in, you know, 3-point attempts and points from three. At the end of the day, as everybody will tell you, three is more than two. And so it's not going away, and teams are trying to figure out how to defend the arc and defend the easy buckets of the basket. And it's just not, you know, I don't think it's that easy, but I think teams are there's a lot of experimentation, a lot of do we switch, do we not switch, like what's the best system? And I'm not sure that there's – it's not like with, I don't know, like when Tom Thibodeau first came out in the 80s with the kind of overload on one side because of the new rules. And pretty soon everybody was doing that. They haven't found that kind of system yet.
Kurt Heelan joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Danny Ainge now part of this front office, and if there's one thing we know about Danny is that Danny can certainly get aggressive around the trade deadline.
Yep.
Do you think he gives himself a little bit of time to take in this team, or do you think he starts being normal Danny and being normal aggressive Danny?
I think he's still normal aggressive Danny. I'm just not sure there's a deal.
Yeah,
it is very much a seller's market right now. There's not that many quality players. I mean, a few teams are going to make moves, you know, to get a save. You saw Boston do it with this 3-team trade the other day. Man, they're like, hey, if we do this and a couple other things break our way, we're almost under the tax. And I think you're going to see Portland make a move with Covington or something and get under the tax. You're going to see some minor stuff, but outside of if you're going for the bigger names, the Jeremy Grants and, you know, obviously Ben Simmons is out there and whoever else, like, that's just, it's going to be so, it's such a seller's market that, you know, it sounds like the housing market nationally. It's just inflated. And I don't know that this, are you going to trade Ingles at a core part of your kind of culture to go after? I'm just not sure that there's a good deal for them. And I think that, that applies to a lot of teams that would kind of like to make a move, but the prices for difference makers are just really high right now.
Well, Kurt, I think in this market, you know, everybody loves to see the Utah Jazz have success. I think the second most exciting thing in the NBA is watching the Lakers and LeBron fail. And you mentioned the Lakers debacle last night. Talk to us about what happened with Westbrook and what Coach Vogel is doing and how ugly things are getting right now in L.A.
Yeah, there's a lot of schadenfreude around the league with this, isn't there? There's just people are really, really savoring this. I will say, let's see, I don't want to talk out of turn. I will first say, the trouble that Vogel is in is just palpable around the team. It's just, you sense it and you feel it and you can see it in everything they do. And that includes last night, knowing that Westbrook was not going to help them win, so I'm going to play undrafted rookie Austin Reeves, like, you know, like that's a, I'm going to have a better chance of winning with him because at least he's going to, at least he read the scouting report. You know, I think you saw that if you saw the ESPN story this morning, it was great. Lakers know Caris LeVert wants to go to his right and Westbrook didn't line up and force him left. Like, it just let him get to his spots. And he's one of those players once he saw, and I think there's a lot of these guys around the league, but Caris LeVert's a great example of, he's a really good scorer, and if you let him see the ball go in the basket a few times too easily, then you're in trouble because now he thinks everything's going to fall, and it might, right? And they just got behind on him. Once he got rolling, I think he had 22 points on and missed one, like 10 of 11 in the fourth quarter. Like, he was just on fire. They couldn't slow him. And Vogel took a lot of criticism for that, but I'm not, you know, look, they haven't fired him yet, but I'm using the word yet there. I'll just say, having been around the team and talked to sources last night, he might want to update the resume and check the housing market. There is a real pressure. Let's put it this way. There's a real pressure in the organization right now to do something. 22 and 23 with LeBron. By the way, LeBron playing again, like 30 points last night, still playing at like this MVP level. There's a real pressure to do something. And I think we've all been in this spot in our lives at points where you're like, I have to do something. But there isn't a good thing to do. Like, there's not good trades for them. Firing the coach doesn't really solve the problem. So they're going to do something, and eventually I think Vogel will be the scapegoat. But what are they going to bring in David Fizdale? That solves your problems? Like, nothing against David Fizdale. It's just, there's not some easy answer out there.
Well, you know the scene with that team far better than we do, but I've always, you know, thought that, I mean, let's be honest, what LeBron wants is what LeBron gets, and does LeBron want a move at the coaching position?
He goes back with he goes back with Fizdale to Miami. Like, that's his guy. So I think that has to concern Vogel a little bit. But I'm not sure that he's got to look around and realize, look, the mistakes that were made, and by him, by the way, were this summer. When he and Davis pushed hard, they were very close to the Buddy Hield, the trading for Buddy Hield out of Sacramento in a deal that would have let them keep Caldwell Pope, would have let them, they would have given up Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell, but they would have kept KCP, and they would have been able to re-sign Caruso. And you think about that team with Hield and Caruso and Caldwell Pope, and you're like, hey,
there you go.
Valid NBA. Suddenly that's, hey, you know, shooters, valid NBA players, guys who can defend, like everything that they can. They just got so far away from what won in the bubble for them. And part of that was that Anthony Davis hasn't been the same. He hasn't just shot the same since then. But they were also, hey, we're going to let LeBron and Anthony Davis score, and the offense will be good enough, and we'll just be elite defensively. And they got away from that, and they chased stars, and now they're bottom 10 on both ends. Like, the offense might come around, but the defense isn't good.
So Kurt, we're kind of watching the NBA form. I mean, we're, you know, just past the halfway point. We're starting to get a feel of the powerhouse teams in both conferences. And I'm starting to wonder if there is a true powerhouse. And I got to be careful with that because yeah. And I know Phoenix is doing great things and Klay Thompson is back and had 22 points the other night against Detroit. And I know that, you know, he's been double digit scoring over the last five games. And I know what they do, so I got to be a little bit careful with that. But much like the NFL, it's anybody's game right now in the postseason. Does it feel like to you that it's going to be anybody's game in the NBA come playoff time?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's more wide open than it's been in a while. The East in particular, Kevin Durant will be back, but what does a Brooklyn team where Kyrie Irving's only playing half the games really look like, right? Like, that's weird. The Bucks, I think, might be the safest bet in the East. They haven't really put it together this season yet, and not having Brook Lopez impacts them. I mean, that's just taken away. You know, they run a drop-back defense with Brook Lopez being a key part of that, and they just don't have him. And that said, I still think they're the safest bet in the East. I'm not sure about is Chicago really there? Or are they a player away? If they feel a player away, but maybe not in this East. And it's kind of out the same out West. Like, I think the safest bet might be Phoenix. Like, they are really playing well. They know who they are. They are balanced. They are well-structured. But there's a higher high potentially with Golden State because Steph Curry and Draymond have done this before. And, you know, they've done this before, and they've got good role players, and there's just a culture there of winning. Utah is capable of being in that mix if they can. You know, I still think they'll get their groove back, but it hasn't looked like it lately. But I think that they're capable of it. I think Memphis, and watch out for Memphis in about 3 years. But I'm just not sure. Like, I think that they've just got to learn how to win. I think it's going to be a little of a wake up call. I think that there's. By the way, I left Miami out of the East. Miami would scare the heck out of me right now.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I agree that, like, I'm just rattling off teams because I don't think that there's one team where you're like, man, we got to get past these guys. The champion. There's no the championship runs through mm-hmm. team this year, is there?
Like, no.
We thought it would be Brooklyn. It's really not Brooklyn. And I don't know that the NBA has really had that since. I mean, we thought the Lakers might be that, but they're certainly not. And, I mean, since Kevin Durant left Golden State, I'm not sure that there's been that in the NBA where there's just this, hey, that's the bar you've got to clear. I don't know who that is in the NBA right now. And the second half of the season is going to tell us a lot because I genuinely don't know who's going to be elite by the end of the season. It's such a weird year.
Do you think eventually there'll be some resolution on Kyrie? And part of that resolution, do you think it's that the Nets will just go ahead and pay the fine and just bite the bullet so that he can play home games?
I think the Nets would do that tomorrow. The league, I've been told the league has told them no. And I know, I think Woj reported that as well. The league said, no. It's not a good look for you guys to flaunt local laws.
It's really not.
it's not. And that has a structure bigger than, you know, whatever you think of mask mandates. Like, it's a bad form for a pro league to flaunt local laws. So, as long as the mandate's in place, they're telling them they can't do that. I think that they would. I think the max is out at like $5,000 a game.
Which, yeah.
Considering what NBA players make, that's a drop in the bucket. So, I think they do it. I don't think they can right now.
What happens with Ben Simmons?
That's a really good question. It really depends on who you ask around the league. I have a lot of sources who would tell me there's no way they're really going to waste a year of, especially the way Joel Embiid has played last month. But I mean, 50 last night. So, by the way, 50 in 27 minutes.
Yeah, how about that?
Just destroys people. He is on fire. He is carrying that team. And you're like, man, you put enough guys around him, and maybe that's the team in the East, right? Maybe. If you get a couple more quality role, you know, not even role players, but like two, three, you know, guys who are starter level good players, maybe. But there's a lot of other people who are saying, no, he's going to ride this thing out. He really, Daryl Morey genuinely believes that they can and will get a star eventually, and he'll wait it out. It might be a coin toss at this point. I don't think there's a star of the level that they're asking for available, unless you're the one person still in the De'Aaron Fox camp. I just don't. Bradley Beal's not available. Damian Lillard, I'm not sure when we're going to see Damian Lillard again, but I'm not taking that on, and I know he doesn't want out. I don't know. There's nobody else coming available of that level right now, and if that's not out there, then if he might hold on, and Ben Simmons will sit out the whole year, and that's just it does come off as a waste to me, but that may be where they're headed. I wish I had a good answer for you, because I'd love to know the answer, but it really just 50% of the people in the league think, no, he can't hold out like that. But people closer to Philly think he might.
If you're a GM in the league, is the juice worth the squeeze on Ben Simmons at all? I mean, considering what you'd probably have to give up to give him or to get him?
Yeah, you have to build a very specific team around him, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've got to have shooting and because he's got to have the ball in his hands, but he can't space the floor. So, I mean, you can sort of try to make a Giannis-like team, except he's just not Giannis, right? But, I mean, you're building it in that mold. You could try to do it, but that's a very specific build where I would maybe I'll wait it out and see if Boston's unhappy after the playoffs and wants to trade Jaylen Brown, who I think is flawed but more complete. Right, like yeah. Just I know what Jaylen Brown is, and if I put Jaylen Brown next to Joel Embiid, it's a lot more interesting.
Rank these bigs for me: Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid, 1 through 3.
Sure. I think Jokic still impacts the game a little more just because of his passing and versatility on offense. I'd probably put him one. I'd probably put Gobert 2, just because I think Embiid, again, I think there's a case where Embiid's ceiling might be higher. That guy misses a lot of time. That's part of the concern about, like, when I'm saying wasting a year with them, it's like, hey, Joel Embiid is brilliant right now, and this is a weird kind of, we were just talking about wide-open year in the East. What if the Nets get it all together and bring everybody back next year? Like, so will Embiid stay healthy? So I would put Gobert too, just because he's so consistent and you know what you're going to get. And by the way, as you guys know, he's not only the best defensive center, he's very good on offense. He has the soft hands. Like he's very good on that end. I think Embiid's a higher ceiling offensive guy, not quite as good on defense, but I can't trust him to be there as much, but it's, you know what? I'll take any of them. I'll take any of those three. Any of those three over Carl Towns.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's fourth.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time as always. Great catching up with you. Enjoy the games, and let's do it again next week.
I look forward to it. You know, hey, Hans, you could be coaching the Lakers by next week. So.
I'm wondering how deep I am on that list.
We could get into it, guys. I won't do it on air. Let's just say that there was plenty of that speculation going around at Staples last night. There's not good options for them on that front either. So
Yep.
Wow. Well, appreciate it, Kurt. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Elin right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's kind of nice seeing the Lakers be in this situation. But it's not what nice watching the Lakers beat the Jazz while they're in this situation.
No.
Like, everything would be so good about this if the Lakers didn't just dismantle you a couple of nights ago.
I know. That's what sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Joining us now, Andrew Reinhardt from Wasatch Medical. Andrew, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're doing well. And there's a lot of guys out there that have probably punched in the number 801-901-8000, but just haven't hit send yet just because they're not. They're thinking, oh, you know, I'll do some sit-ups and I'll cut out some carbs. It's going to be okay, but it's not. You need to get it taken care of now if you're struggling with ED.
Yeah, that's right. 70% of men with ED, this is staggering, 70% do not seek treatment. So they're probably suffering in silence. The relationship is maybe deteriorating a little bit. If this sounds true, if frequency is down in the bedroom, you should know about Wasatch Medical and the acoustic wave therapy. We have over 50 clinical studies now showing this reverses ED at its core by repairing blood vessels. It only takes a couple of weeks, a few 10-minute sessions. We've helped a lot of guys, a lot of your friends out there, get back to normal function in the bedroom and do it without a pill.
And again, it all starts with a free assessment and some great free information from Wasatch Medical.
It does. If you're ready to regain your love life, you can be done with these treatments by Valentine's Day. You can celebrate the right way. Give us a call. We'll set you up to be screened by our doctor. He'll do an exam, assessment, even the blood flow ultrasound, free. The gift that produces immediate results to intimacy, that's worth the trip. And blood work and testosterone, this is pretty valuable. That's free today as well.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Call right now. Again, 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Unrivaled.
Guys are doing a hell of a job.
Here's what is great about what George Kliavkov said. I love the brutal honesty. I mean, if you can't look at a situation and assess it and call it what it is and say what it is, you're never going to improve. If you're constantly putting a Band-Aid on it and say, no, we're in a good spot. We'll just, you know, just give us another year. Just give us, you know, it's a building year, you know, but man, next year things are going to be good. Next year never comes around. And when you can come out and make a very clear, very bold, very accurate, and very honest statement, that's really kind of the first step to, like, making change.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Also, you can check them out online at ZeroResSaltLake.com, or if you're up north, go to ZeroResDavisWeber.com. All right, so you doing okay over there, buddy?
Uh-oh,
that's not good.
No, I just had two mishaps.
Oh, yeah?
Well, number one, the elevator wouldn't work to bring me back up, so I just ran up five.
Oh, you ran up the ramp? The ramp? Oh, my gosh.
From the vending machines down at the security level.
Yeah.
And so I ran up from that.
You know there's some drinks actually. No.
Yeah, but I need the vending machine that takes a card, and they got these bottles of Coke Zero.
Oh, okay.
So they're only down there. So. Yeah. The elevator took me down, and I know I can get there and back in a break because elevator runs me down. It's really quick to get the soda. Well, it went to vend my first Coke Zero, and it didn't fall out of the rack.
Oh, no.
So it charged me $2.50 for that.
Oh, geez.
And I still wanted a Coke Zero, so I just paid $5 for a Coke Zero because I got this one for $2.50. Then I went to get the elevator.
Some of these machines around here are like slot machines.
They are, man. I feel like they're loaded slot machines.
Yeah.
So I went to get back up, and, you know, you click that thing.
Yeah, that call button.
And it wouldn't stay lit.
Oh,
and
no.
So it's a service elevator. For people that don't know, we're here in Vivint Arena where the Jazz play. That's where our studios currently are. And so you've got operation people that are, like, taking catering and doing all kinds of stuff. And you get in this moment where it's like, It's not working. And you're thinking in your mind, you're going through the brakes and you're like, okay, I got a minute. If I don't start running now.
The internal clock starts ticking a little bit. So,
doing all right.
So
catching my wind.
So I have not told anybody this publicly because people sometimes they like to flaunt like, oh, got COVID. You know, it's like, I think people, never mind, I'll keep my mouth shut. But there's a lot of attention. There's some attention hounds out there. Well,
guys breathing heavy around people with COVID.
Yeah, like,
oh, I hope I don't get this.
I'd hate to be able to go on social media and talk about it. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Hey, hold on. See, it's all worth it.
So I did catch it a few weeks ago. And I had to call a Utah State game. And so I did it from our living room.
Did anybody catch on?
I think people who listened, because we, you know, there was no crowd noise or anything, so it sounded weird. Like, I get it. And it was the New Mexico game, too, which was obviously, and they were down 17, came back one. It's a really emotional game, and it was overtime and all
you
that.
You would have heard the crowd, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was upstairs. I'd been kind of quarantined downstairs. I kept myself quarantined in this downstairs basement, or bedroom we have. And
the West Wing.
Stop it. Fortunately, the rest of the family didn't catch it. I was the only one that got it. But I needed to come upstairs because of internet and all the other stuff, because I needed a hard wire and stuff like that. So the rest of the family cleared out, and I was upstairs calling the game, second half, and I've got all this stuff connected, and I realize I don't have a power cord connected. And I'm like, where's my power cord? And I'm like, it's in that downstairs basement.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's not like it's a – like running up and down a set of stairs should not wind you, but you're nervous –
yeah,
and I'm not in the best of shape, and so I sprinted downstairs, sprinted right back upstairs, got everything plugged in, all during like a 30-second commercial break, and then you know I'm calling a game, and all of a sudden I'm like,
I'm winded,
and I'm like, and I got nobody else, I don't have a color analyst or anything like that.
Gotta fight through the wind,
and so I'm like, during a pause and action, turning the mic down.
And then you turn it back up. Have like the ambient noise to let it like.
Yeah, exactly.
Take over.
I don't even have
second.
The crowd noise. I don't have any of that. And I'm like, and I get Eric and my were like, "Hey, are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine. Just keep going."
You got through it though.
But we got through it. But it was.
But the COVID lung got you.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I mean, look, I'm the type of guy that COVID, you know, has done some damage to, and I've had the vaccine and the booster, and it ended up being pretty grateful, pretty lucky. It ended up being essentially a moderate head cold. So got really lucky,
well,
for sure.
This actually transitions right into our good Utah State with a game tonight. So give us the Thursday night Utah State game.
Yeah, Utah State, Boise State coming up tonight. The Broncos coming in winners of 10 in a row, and Utah State has lost 4 out of 5. All conference games, but the Aggies got to right the ship here. This is they've had some struggles. They've had a guy out. RJ Idlerock should be hopefully back tonight. He's been on COVID restrictions, and they've dealing with an injury. Brock Miller's been out for an extended amount of time, and will probably be out until maybe February. So every game they've lost though has gone right down to the wire in these four conference games. They could easily be undefeated in conference play. They just need somebody to make a big play or two down the stretch of games.
What's their best win and their worst loss so far this season?
Well, the best win's Oklahoma, which Oklahoma has turned into a juggernaut. Their worst loss would be either to Air Force or UC Davis. But again, this is a team that right now has put themselves behind the eight ball a little bit in conference play, and they need to go on a run. They're more than capable of doing it. It's just something's not right. They're not shooting the three ball in their five conference games. They're shooting 18% from three. It's not good, Bob.
It's not real good.
No. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Uh-oh, you don't want this in the middle of the playoffs. Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay started 19 games for the team last two seasons, arrested last night. Just before a huge showdown against Buffalo, jail records show the 23-year-old was arrested at 10:30 p.m. He was booked on a charge of criminally damaged roughly 2 hours later. He's still in custody, has a court date scheduled for Thursday afternoon. He's a second-round pick in the 2020 draft, has been a big part of their team. 87 tackles, 2 interceptions, 1.5 sacks in 28 games. And does he play against Buffalo?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I mean, he could run over a kid in a crosswalk being drunk in the NFL and probably play in the playoffs.
We got a playoff game.
It's sad. It's a sad fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid what the NFL's overlooking.
It wasn't the case with Ruggs.
Yeah, that's true. There's some precedence with Vegas.
Well, according to some conspiracy theorists, but that's Vegas.
That was just the police department in Vegas.
That's only the Raiders. Why are you taking it so hard on our guys and everybody? There's a precedent set, man. It takes a lot to keep a guy off a field for an NFL postseason game. A lot more than some criminal damage. I think it was less than 1,000. As of this morning, he was still in holding. I don't know if he's out of custody now, but this morning he was still in custody. I don't know the details, the specifics of it. You know, where it's criminal damage, that could be an array of things. There are no details yet, but he's going to be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Nobody's dead. You know, no, there isn't a video surfacing of him hitting a family member, which might get him suspended for the weekend, maybe. You know, we saw one guy that assaulted his family trying to rip a door off of a house to get to somebody, and he was out on the field a couple weeks later.
Yep.
So
he got signed.
I think it takes a lot.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think, honestly, I mean, I know this sounds really bad to say, but I think you have to kill somebody, honestly.
Yeah. Actually, we're not even joking. It's got to be bad. And
let's go back to Ray Rice.
And it's got
to
be red-handed on video.
Yeah, but let's say Ray Rice was still a high-level running back. Now, he had kind of hit a point in his career where he was on the downside of his career. But let's say he's at the peak of his career, and he's a 1,300-yard-a-year, 14, 15-touchdown-a-year guy. He still has a job in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the Cincinnati running back before the draft that there was video of him beating up a girl? Mixon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 Now he fell in the draft, but he still got drafted. He certainly played, and he's playing at a high level.
I've got to be careful because I get jaded on things, and then I take it out on those entities on air. And so I've got to be a little bit careful because I'm pretty jaded with the NFL right now after this whole Malik McDowell situation.
Yeah.
I'm so disgusted, to the bitter parts of my gut, disgusted that Malik McDowell was even allowed to be back in the NFL after assaulting a cop at a convenience store and doing it in a horrible fashion. And there's video of it. And I think it was 2019. This guy assaulted a cop. And I don't know when it became okay to get physical with a cop. It's not okay. And he slammed him against a wall and ran him into another wall and took him down. And by the way, he's 6'6", 300 pounds. This cop was probably 5'8", 150. And this cop was getting ragdolled. And it shredded this convenience store. If you haven't seen the video, go watch it. And then think to yourself, that guy that did that was back in the NFL a year later. It's disgusting to me. And then to know what he did. And I know, we all give everybody a pass with the mental illness. He stripped naked in front of a school, stripped naked, and then fought with cops in the street. And we all give people a pass because it's like, oh, he's got mental illness. Okay, well, then we can give him a pass. We'll get him mental health. But don't put him back in the NFL.
Yeah.
He assaulted a cop. I think that is absolutely unacceptable. And I look at certain offenses in the NFL, and it's like, man, those guys are out there trying to enforce the law. They're trying to do the best they can. And when they're asking you certain situations, I get it. There's some combativeness, and I know that there's been some bad things over the last year. But these guys are trying to protect. The last thing they need to be is assaulted by a 6'6", 300-pound maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm jaded with the NFL because Malik McDowell should not have been back in the league.
No. You're right. He needs help. Get him help. But don't let him play.
But don't let him play.
Yeah.
And don't say, oh, well, things are getting better. Hold on. That's a horrible criminal, very high-level criminal offense.
Yeah.
And yet here he is back with the Browns doing his thing. But now I think this is going to be a bad one because he was in front of a school and it was the videos have all surfaced now of Malik McDowell naked in the street fighting with cops. Took like six guys to try to apprehend him while he's naked. Didn't have a weapon. It's crazy, man. Just crazy.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Well, Bruce Arians is going to have to pay for slapping his own player's helmet during last weekend's playoff game because the NFL has dinged him $50,000. Happened during the Bucs-Eagles wildcard game. Philly receiver Jalen Reagor fumbled a punt. Tampa Bay recovered during the pileup. Bruce Arians appeared to try to get Philly players out of the way, Bucs safety Andrew Adams appeared to try to get Philly players out of the way. Arians didn't like that and got to the point of kind of striking the player in the helmet. Whole thing was caught on camera during the broadcast. Troy Aikman even said he's puzzled by his actions, which agreed. And then, of course, the 69-year-old coach doubled down on it, said that he struck Adams to avoid a penalty. Said, you can't pull guys out of a pile. We got a big play. We got great field position. He's trying to pull a guy off of a pile. And I was trying to knock him off of that guy so he didn't get a penalty. Well, I hope that penalty, not getting that penalty, was worth it because it just cost you $50,000 and made you look like a moron. How about grab him by the arm?
Yeah, do something. We've got a precedence that's now set. Coaches can't, at least not in front of cameras, can't contact a player. You know, and that's foreign to Lloyd, that's foreign to you, and that's foreign to me. Because when we were coming up, having our face masks grabbed and our helmets popped was probably common. At least it was for me. I don't want to speak for you guys, but
I had a coach who had a championship ring. And won some championship, and he'd slap you on the head, and that ring would resonate.
Your ears would ring.
Yeah.
Lloyd, did you?
He would turn it around, too.
Do you have some coaches that would pop you on the head?
Yeah. That definitely happened.
But man, when he'd hit you in the top of the helmet with that ring, it's like, heck, ow!
Heck, when my dad used to throw me BP, he used to throw baseballs at me.
Yeah.
at me.
Played some Tiger Woods mental games with him.
Yeah.
Well, things changed. You actually can see Bruce Arians when he's going to pop Adams in the head. You can actually see him changing course midair. And he was going at him like, I'm going to smack him in the head. And then he changed course and kind of grazed his helmet. If he'd have hit him in the head, he'd probably been gone.
Yeah.
But he kind of grazed the helmet. You could see it. It's kind of funny. Watch it. And you could see him. He's like in midair, and he's going to jam the back of his head. And he kind of, his arm goes away to the side and kind of grazes the helmet.
And Adams is like, what are you doing?
I've got to imagine that Andrew Adams, by the way, not the KSL reporter, one of the best on site in this state.
Andrew's the best, man.
He is, bro. He does some great stories. Love some of my favorite stories.
And he listens to the show, too. We like those guys.
But Andrew Adams, the safety, not Andrew Adams, the award-winning KSL reporter. I'm sure even he was like, wait, you guys are fining him? Oh, okay. That's strange, but okay. Because it just kind of grazed him. Did you hear anything from Andrew Adams?
No.
See, I don't fine him. I don't do a damn thing until I hear the player say, I won't stand for that.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do something. We can't be hit in the head as players. Because sometimes, you know, when you get hit, you're like, yep, deserve that one. I deserve that one. You're right, coach. I'm an idiot. Try to pull guys off the pile. I know that I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I know. I could still get hit in the head right now doing something stupid, and I could turn and be upset and be like, I deserve that.
I mean, Scotty throws pens at the glass.
Hey,
when I do something.
I know thank that. God, the, I know that there. Here, okay, I know but, that there's glass there, so I know that nothing's going to hit you.
Similar concept, though.
No, not at all.
What if that glass all of a sudden disappears and that pen sticks in Lloyd's face?
Well, then I deserve any kind of punishment that I get.
He'd still be throwing the pens.
That has not happened for a long time.
He would say,
you guys haven't been in studio for about a year.
He would say it slipped out of his hands.
Yeah.
And I would say, I saw nothing. I saw nothing.
All right, Old World News next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Oh, brand new. joined right now by the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliavkov. I'm curious how much of what has gone wrong, what needs to be fixed, can be done by the Pac-12 commissioner and the conference office, and what percentage is on the schools? What is the balance here? How much of this is on your plate?
It's probably 80-20. Probably 80% of the decisions that lead to football success happen on the campus and not at the conference. But the 20% is an important 20%, right? We have to be better about providing a better platform when we renegotiated our media rights. And that's related to revenue. It's related to distribution. It's related to competitive advantage, deciding who gets to play at what time of the day, for highlighting for AP voters and CFP voters on the East Coast. So we have a lot of work to do, but the larger input to football success comes on the campus for sure.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. You've got you and me, sister.
It's another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hands, before we do that, though, we got some tickets to give away. Jazz and Pistons coming up tomorrow. You want to go? Well, all you have to do is be calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And you, my friend, will have tickets to go see the Jazz and the Pistons.
Hey, that's a good game. It's going to be a nice rematch of and I know Detroit's not the best, but Detroit got you a couple days ago. You're reeling. Hopefully something comes together. Donovan Mitchell should be back on the court after this concussion situation. And if you get Donovan back, and I would imagine Hassan Whiteside should be available. Rudy Gay should be available.
Where's my phone?
Would be my guess.
I've not seen an update.
For tomorrow's game? I mean,
Lloyd, have they sent out an update on that yet? To this morning?
I got to imagine there's a chance that we see a full complement, and then we maybe see them.
Yeah, nope, there's no.
They got practice today, right?
No practice today.
No practice? Well.
Well, there may have been practice, no media availability.
You hope that they come together and get a redemptive victory over Detroit. That'd be nice to see.
That certainly would. If this team loses to Detroit.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be going out to the game Friday night. So.
Are you?
Yep. I'm headed out to go watch this one live. I want to put my eyes on this team and check their body language out on the side and see how the coach is interacting. And sometimes you catch things when you're there. That
yeah.
You just don't see. And I'd rather watch on a broadcast because then I can rewind. I can stop. I can pause.
That's how I am.
You know, I'd like to listen to Big T's analysis. I like to listen to David Locke and Boone's analysis. It just helps me better understand the game. But I'm going to go tomorrow and put my eyes on this team, just see if I can pick up on anything that's happening outside of on court play, lack of defense.
Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, brought to you by My Hearing Centers. We change lives through better hearing.
All right, so we always talk about these, and this is a really long story. I actually enjoyed the full write-up and reading through it, and I would urge anybody out there to go read through this, because, Scotty, this is something you and I have dreamed of. Coming across, a piece of art or something at a secondhand store and buying it and then finding out it's an original. This is the extreme story of that. And it starts by going back to 2016. This guy that he's basically just he buys stuff at secondhand stores and resells it. That's what he does.
Okay.
It's his occupation. He lives very lean. He doesn't have much. Like, just a little trailer house and some old beat-up cars, and that's what he does. He just buys stuff at the secondhand and resells it. Well, he bought this photo. It was a drawing for $30. He bought it. It was following the passing of architect John Paul Carland, This is according to the Boston Herald. Carlin inherited this piece that he bought from his grandfather, who bought it in Paris in 1919. Okay? So this guy buys this $30 drawing, and he's kept it since 2016. Well, there's this guy that's become very famous for analyzing art. They end up calling him just to say, hey, can you come take a look at this? The guy comes and takes a look at this $30 drawing, and he said he got the chills, and his hair stood up because there's little things that – little details of high-end drawings that when you got the right eye, he instantly handed the guy $100,000. And he said, I want this, $100,000. So this guy takes the $100,000. And by the way, when he gave him the $100,000, he said, this doesn't take you out of the equation. Whatever we move forward with, you're going to be a part of this. Here's $100,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, hey, this is now mine.
You're selling it to me for $100,000.
You're out of it. The contract was, here's $100,000. Let's go do this together.
Oh, that's great.
Well, this piece is an original from the mid-1500s, and it is by an artist known as Durer. And Durer, the last time there was a actual drawing of his sold.
A drawing of Durer.
D-U-R-E-R was 1978.
Wow.
And it sold for $1.3 million. In 1978. This original piece of art that they have now found is an original and one of very, very few is worth $50 million. He purchased it for $30 in 2016.
Wow.
So they're moving forward on this. There's different art dealers. The story is, I don't know, it's like a 15, 20 minute read. But it's awesome. All of the different things that fell into place to find this original piece of work from the 1500s. It's an incredible story. But they are going to sell it for $50 million.
Hope my guy gets a good cut of that.
I do too.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy that he had nothing.
Because the dude could have given him $100,000 and just walked away from it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He could have said, here's your $100,000. This is your big payday. And I'm sure the guy would have taken it. He in the story, it said that when he showed up this guy's house, he was like, oh, there's no way this guy, you know, this.
Yeah.
He said as soon as he looked at it, the guy just gave it to him and walked in to go watch the end of Storage Wars. he didn't even sit there while this guy analyzed the picture. It's such an incredible story.
That's crazy.
$50 million original piece of work from 1500-something.
From Durer. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Joining us now, Andrew Reinhardt from Wasatch Medical. And Andrew, no needles, no little blue pill, no surgery. If you want to treat that ED that some of you may be dealing with, you can do so, and it has an end date, too. This is not something that's going to continue on forever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What men tell us is they're not only sick of the pill, but then they have to take more of the pill when it comes to ED, and you're kind of right. You become a prisoner to that process. Then you come over here, pivot to the Wasatch Medical technology, the acoustic wave that opens up and regrows blood vessels. It treats the root cause problem, and basically, it's more blood flow in the bedroom, where you want it, when you want it. Typically, men do a few short 10-minute treatments over a couple weeks. That puts you almost perfectly out there to Valentine's Day, guys. You'll be ready. There's an end date. It's long-lasting, and it's treating the root cause of the problem.
801-901-8000. Call right now, 801-901-8000, and let's get you squared away because now's the time to get it done, and it can all start with just a free assessment. See where you're at.
That's right. All you do is call us. If you don't go forward with treatments, that's okay. You can just take the free. That's fine with us. But give us a call. You'll meet with our doctor. He'll do a blood flow ultrasound. That's no charge. You'll get the gift that pretty much never fails. It produces immediate results to intimacy. And this part, quite valuable. Blood work and testosterone, that's free as well.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.